The townhouse gate was rusted shut. Pearl stood on the sidewalk and tested it with both hands. Iron bars, thick as her wrist, welded together by decades of Fifth Avenue neglect. She had passed it a dozen times in the weeks since her father's death, always walking fast, always keeping her head down, always telling herself that Astrid Blackwell's property was the last place she wanted to be. But tonight was different. Tonight she had nothing left to lose. The rain had returned, fine and cold, the kind that seeped through wool and settled in the joints. Pearl pressed her ear to the gate and listened. Beyond it, the townhouse garden was dark, the hydrangeas reduced to brown skeletons, the stone path invisible beneath fallen leaves and rainwater. The house itself loomed behind the gate like a sleeping animal, all dark windows and cornice shadows, the gas lamps along the facade extinguished for the evening. She had entered once before, through the back kitchen door, while the household slept, while Astrid was at a charity matinee on Broadway, while the city held its breath and Pearl slipped through the service entrance like a thread through needle's eye. She had found the ledgers in the library. She had read them, or thought she had read them. The problem with ledgers was that they lied, not intentionally. Ledgers were honest about numbers but dishonest about context. A payment recorded as consultation fees could mean anything depending on who wrote it, who read it, and what they were willing to believe. Pearl's father had written in the margins. She had seen the handwriting small, precise, the same hand that had taught her to hold the brass scissors correctly, thumb on the upper blade, index finger guiding the cut. He had written paid in the margin next to a series of payments from Blackwell and Sons, dated over 18 months. He had written silent next to the last one, and he had written why next to that. She had assumed he meant he was asking why. But looking at it now, 6 months later, with his blood on the depot steps and her license hanging by a thread, she wondered if he had been answering a question he had asked himself. Why? Because he was paid. Because he was silent. Because silence had a price and he had accepted it. The gate gave with a groan. Rust flaked onto her palms in gray powder. Pearl stepped through, pulling the gate shut behind her and moved along the stone path toward the side entrance. Her shoulder throbbed. The burn on her forearm had scabbed over, a thin red line beneath the wool of her sleeve. She kept her hand in her pocket, fingers closed around the brass scissors, feeling the worn metal between her knuckles. The kitchen door was locked. It had been locked before, and it was locked now. Pearl worked the lock with a hairpin she had bent flat against her boot heel. She had learned that trick from a pickpocket on the subway 2 years ago, Silver and Grease, his fingers moving faster than she could track, his wallet appearing in her coat pocket before she realized it was gone. She had caught his wrist. He had smiled. "You got good hands, miss," he had said. "You should learn to use them." The lock clicked. The door opened inward. Chilly air rushed out, smelling of beeswax and stale lilies, the same scent that filled the house during the day, but stronger here in the dark, concentrated, almost suffocating. Pearl stepped inside and closed the door behind her. The kitchen was exactly as she remembered it. Copper pots hanging from the ceiling hooks, a marble countertop scarred by knives and hot pans, a pantry door slightly ajar, revealing shelves of canned goods and flour sacks. The gas lamps were off, but moonlight filtered through the scullery window, casting pale rectangles on the tiled floor. Pearl moved through the kitchen with practiced silence, her boots making no sound on the stone. She knew this route now. Past the pantry. Down the service corridor. Past the wine cellar door, to the library. The library door was open. She had left it open. Or had it been left open by someone else? She pushed it wider and stepped inside. The room was unchanged. Floor-to-ceiling bookshelves lined every wall. A large desk dominated the center, its surface bare except for a brass inkwell and a single leather-bound ledger, its cover dark brown, its spine cracked from use. Moonlight fell across the desk in a pale rectangle, illuminating dust motes that drifted like snow in the still air. Pearl approached the desk. Her hand hovered over the ledger. She had read it once before, hurriedly, in the space of 20 minutes while the household slept and the rain tapped against the library windows. She had seen the payments. She had seen the dates. She had seen her father's name in the margins, but she had not deciphered the final entry. Not really. At the time, the entries blurred together, a wall of accounting that meant nothing until she found the marginalia. Now, with nothing else to hold onto, she sat down and opened the ledger to the last page. The handwriting was neat. Commercial. The kind of script that belonged to a bookkeeper, not a widow. Astrid Blackwell did not keep this ledger herself. She had someone else. Someone who understood the difference between a donation and a payoff. Pearl traced the columns with her fingertip. Date, payee, amount, description, the entries stretched back years, Orphanage Aid Society, Children's Hospital, St. Patrick's Fund, legitimate donations, legitimate charities, legitimate public records, but buried among them were others, smaller amounts, different payees, men with ordinary names, John O'Brien, Thomas Wright, Margaret Ellis, descriptions that didn't match the charitable pattern, consultation, advisory services, information. She found the section she needed, 18 months ago. The date aligned with when her father had begun visiting the Academy of Music, when he had started sitting in the third row, center aisle, watching the performances with the intensity of a man searching for something in the music. She had assumed he was bored. Retired, restless, filling his days with opera because it was the only thing his pension covered. But what if he wasn't bored? What if he was investigating? The entries continued, monthly payments, consistent amounts, $500 each time, written in the description column, advisory services, and in the margin in her father's hand, paid, silent. Pearl's finger moved to the next entry, then the next, 12 payments, 12 months, $600 each, the margin changed, paid, silent, why? And then the final entry. The date was 3 months ago, 2 weeks before her father's death. The amount was $1,000. The payee was listed simply as S.C. Pearl Casey. The description read, termination of inquiry, final consultation. And in the margin, her father's handwriting, but different, shaky. The ink blotched in places as if his hand had been unsteady when he wrote it. Terminated, paid, not silent, ordered. Pearl stared at the word, ordered. Not asked, not requested, ordered. Her breath caught, she read it again, terminated, paid, not silent, ordered. The pieces clicked into place with the precision of a well-tied silk knot. Her father hadn't been paid to stay silent. He had been paid to stop investigating. And when he refused, when he wrote why in the margin, when he continued his inquiry, despite the payments Astrid Blackwell had ordered something else, something permanent. Ordered. The word sat on the page like a stone, heavy, irreversible. It was the difference between a bribe and a death sentence, between corruption and murder. Pearl's hand trembled. She pressed her palm flat against the ledger to steady it, but the tremor moved through her whole arm, through her shoulder, through the old bruise that still ached when the rain came. She closed her eyes. She counted to 10. She opened them. The word was still there, ordered. She flipped back through the pages, looked for more context. There was nothing. The ledger was a record of transactions, not motivations. It showed the money changing hands, but not the intent behind it. Unless the intent was in the word ordered itself, written in her father's hand, the only person who could confirm what it meant being dead. Pearl pulled a folded sheet of paper from her coat pocket. It was a rubbing she had made of the silk knot from her father's pocket, done in charcoal on scrap paper, the only copy she had left after the sketch burned. She laid it next to the ledger and compared the two documents. The knot was a signature, a mark, a way of identifying the hand that had tied it without leaving a name. And the ledger entry was the same thing, a way of recording an order without spelling it out. Terminated. Paid. Not silent. Ordered. The word ordered was the name. The knot was the signature. Both pointed to the same hand. Astrid Blackwell. Pearl's jaw tightened. She had suspected it since the depot, since the blood-written name on the marble steps. But suspicion was not evidence. And evidence was all she had left. The sketch was ash. The notebook was gone. Her license was revoked. And the only proof that Astrid had ordered her father's death was a single word in a margin written by a dead man. She heard the floorboard creak. Not in the library. In the corridor. Behind the door. The footfalls came soft and deliberate, avoiding the groan of the third plank while landing squarely on the splintered board that had shrieked under every other weight for a decade. Pearl froze, her hand closed around the brass scissors. She didn't turn, she didn't move, she listened. Another step, closer now, the door handle turned. Slowly, the brass knob rotated with a soft metallic whisper and the door began to open. Pearl swung around. The doorway was empty. Moonlight from the corridor fell across the threshold, illuminating nothing. No figure, no shadow, just the dark passage beyond the library door, stretching back toward the kitchen, toward the garden, toward the street. But the door was open, and it had not been open a moment ago. Pearl stood, her boots made no sound on the Persian rug. She moved to the doorway and looked out. The corridor was empty. The wine cellar door was shut. The service stairs were dark. But on the floor, in the dust that coated everything in the unused parts of the house, there was a footprint. Fresh. Clear. A boot print, size 10 or 11, pointing into the library. Someone had been here, recently, before her. Pearl looked back at the desk. At the ledger. At the final entry. Had the previous visitor read it? Had they seen the word ordered? Or had they come to close the book, to hide the evidence, to finish what the fire at Alina's had started? She returned to the desk and flipped to the page before the final entry. The handwriting was the same. The entries were the same, but something was different. The page had been touched. The paper was slightly creased, as if someone had pressed hard against it with a fingernail. Pearl traced the crease. It ran along the margin, parallel to her father's writing, as if someone had been reading over his shoulder. She flipped further back. Another crease. And another. 3 pages of the ledger had been marked this way. 3 pages of entries that someone had studied carefully. Someone who knew what to look for. Someone who had been here before her. Astrid. The realization settled over Pearl like a weight. Astrid had been here, in the weeks since Pearl's last visit. She had come back to the library, to the ledger, to the entries that documented her payments to Pearl's father. She had reviewed them, marked them, checked them, and she had found the final entry, terminated, paid, not silent, ordered. Astrid had seen it, and she had done nothing, or she had done everything. Pearl's hand shook as she reached for the ledger. She needed to take it. She needed to take every page, every entry, every marginal note, and she needed to get it out of this house before Astrid decided that the final entry needed a final touch. But the ledger was bound in thick leather, its pages sewn together, its spine reinforced. She could not tear it out. She could not carry it. Not without making noise. Not without risk. She pulled the charcoal rubbing from her pocket again. Laid it on the desk. Opened her notebook empty, useless, the pages blank since the original had burned and began to transcribe. Not the whole ledger, just the relevant entries, the payments to her father, the marginalia, the final entry, terminated, paid, silent no more, ordered. She wrote fast, her hand cramped, the charcoal snapped twice. She broke another piece from the stub and kept writing. The footsteps in the corridor had stopped. The house was silent. But the silence was wrong. It was the silence of a held breath, of something waiting. Pearl finished the transcription. She folded the page and tucked it into her coat. She closed the ledger. She stood, and she walked toward the door. The corridor was still empty, but the air had changed. Colder, thicker. The smell of beeswax and stale lilies had been replaced by something else, something sharper. Gasoline? No, coal smoke. From the furnace room down the hall, the house was heating up. Someone was preparing to leave. Pearl moved quickly, past the wine cellar, past the pantry, through the kitchen. She did not look back. She did not slow. Her hand was on the kitchen door when she heard it the soft click of a lock engaging somewhere in the house behind her. The library door. Someone had locked it. She pushed through the kitchen door and into the night. The rain was heavier now. Cold drops hit her face, her neck, her hands. She ran. Her boots splashed through puddles. Her coat soaked through, the brass scissors bit into her palm. She did not feel the cold. She did not feel the burn on her arm. She felt only the weight of the folded page in her coat pocket, and the word ordered burned into her mind. Astrid Blackwell had ordered her father's death. Pearl reached the gate and shouldered through, refusing to glance over her shoulder or reduce her pace. The street lay empty, save for the gas lamps casting long, wavering shadows across the wet cobblestones. Somewhere behind her, in the Fifth Avenue townhouse, a light flickered on in the library window before dying away, as though the house itself had chosen to keep its secrets. Pearl turned west, toward the river, letting the silence swallow the weight of her footsteps as she walked.